Just what makes that little old ant think he'll move that rubber tree plant? Anyone knows an ant can't move a rubber tree plant.
But he's got high hopes. He's got high hopes. He's got high apple pie in the sky hopes.
So anytime you're getting low, instead of letting go, just remember that ant. Oops, there goes another rubber tree plant.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another broadcast of Keeping It Real with Frankie D from the John DeVita Broadcast Center on the Windy City Hometown Entertainment Network and Jack FM 89.7 WRHS FM Norwich. Today's subject will be about the Italian culture. And now, here he is, Mr. Frankie D.
Thank you, John, and welcome all to the show. Today's show is called A Little Chicago Secret. Let me paint a picture, if I may. You're sitting on Rush Street, Russian State, and you're across the street from Carmine's and Tavern on Rush, and you might be having an espresso, or you might be having a gelato, and you are situated in probably the greatest people-watching spot in the entire city of Chicago. Well, the little secret is, that little strip of land is called Mariano Park. It is owned by the Chicago Park District. It's an actual park, and it's named after a man named Louis Mariano, a fellow Italian-American. And we're going to learn all about that today. And I'm sure that many, 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 many people have sat there and enjoyed that spot with no idea that it was named after an Italian-American. So I'm fortunate enough today to have as my guest the nephew of Louis Mariano, Richard Valentino, and the great grand niece of Louis Mariano, Carol Valentino Berry. Thank you both for coming here to enlighten us about Mr. Louis Mariano. Let me just give a little background from a little bit of my research. It technically is at 1031 North State Street, but I believe that is Russian State Street.
That's right.
In the Rush Street area, which is the greatest nightlife area of Chicago. The park was named after Louis Mariano in 1970, okay? The park was acquired by the city in 1848 and then was transferred to the Park District in 1959, and it hosts a structure designed by Birch Burdett Long, who was a Frank Lloyd Wright protege.
So wow. That's
something we didn't know. So welcome both of you to the show. Mr. Valentino. First of all, give us a little background, Louis Mariano. Where was the family from in Italy?
Campania,
the region. The Campania region. Okay, so that's Campania region is where the city of Naples is. You had mentioned maybe perhaps like near Salerno?
Yes, it's near to Salerno. It's south of Naples.
Okay, great. And this is, so Louis Mariano, to put in perspective, this is your mother's brother?
My mother's brother, yes.
Okay, so this is your actual
Uncle
Louis.
And he would have been a favorite uncle because he was always there.
Okay, that's great to know. Okay, now, Louis Mariano, growing up in Chicago, where did he grow up? What neighborhood was he from?
They grew up on Racine near Racine, and their house was roughly about a half a block on Taylor Street, okay. A half a block east of Racine.
Okay, so they were Taylor Street people.
And now the houses there are changed quite a bit. A lot of them are torn down, and there's a lot of uniformity and some new buildings there. They're not houses. They're more like apartments.
Right.
And there's a lot of... On the main floor, a lot of store space.
Did you yourself grow up in the Taylor Street area or no?
Yeah, well, I grew up originally wherever my aunt and grandmother and my Uncle Louis and wherever they lived. I was about 60 years old when I mentioned to my aunt that we stayed with them a lot. And she said to me, stayed with us. You lived with us for a year.
Wow, okay.
But as I was three, this was when I was 3 or 4 years old, and I didn't know, I just thought I visited them because I didn't know I was living there. I mean, when you go to the house, they say you go to bed, I guess. And I knew we were there a lot, but I didn't know we lived with them.
Oh, okay. Okay. So so you were very familiar with your Uncle Louis.
It was actually on the west side of Chicago, on Albany, maybe about 5 or 6 blocks south of Madison, and near Harrison and Albany.
Okay. Perfect. Okay, great. That's great. Okay.
Oh, no, excuse me.
Oh, no. We have more details.
It's more they tried for a while because they had a Aunt Rachel who lived on the north side around, I thought it was way north, but I found out later that it was north on Fullerton.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
And they had
okay.
an apartment there.
Okay.
And they lived, they tried to live on the north side for a while, and they went there. And I think when we lived with them that time, they were on the north side. Then they went back to the west side on Albany and Harrison.
Okay. Okay, great. All right. Let's talk about Louis Mariano. So they named this park after him, which for me, when I discovered it the first time, there was a lot of pride. Because, this is such a jewel in the city, this piece of land. So, here's his name after an Italian-American. Who is Louis Mariano?
Well, Louis Mariano was my great-uncle.
Okay.
And he, when I was growing up, he would be at family parties. And his big claim to fame at that time was having edited a book called Outhouse Beautiful. So that was my little 6-year-old brain, knowing that my great uncle was an editor, and
which is a very impressive position to have.
Absolutely, but always a real quiet and reserved man.
Really?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Very much so. Dad, what do you remember about Uncle Louis?
I remember that wherever he was, he stood out because he seemed like. You know, we live in a classless society, but he seemed like higher class than I was.
That's been very interesting.
And he'd have this soft voice, and he'd always he'd have a lot of knowledge.
Yeah, that's true.
And he'd always answer questions very simply, without any pride in his voice or anything, just very simply. And like he was so confident, he would know the answer to just about anything. That's as a child, but as you get older, you know this is impossible.
Yeah, but he was that way. That's a really good description of him, because that's how I recall him also. And I remember him being sort of, you know, understated. And I remember he lived, didn't he live near Rush Street? His apartment was
very close
to
the park. Oh, yeah, he lived in that area after he moved away from his family. And that year, we lived with them, but I didn't know. I thought we were visiting, but we lived with them for a year, and I thought we were visiting. My aunt told me much later that we lived with them for a year. But one of the days I was there, I went into his bedroom, and I found the most wonderful thing I have ever seen in my life. No. It was a.
I got to be honest. I can't wait to hear the answer to this.
I'm
it
scared.
Was a Gillette razor, and it was in a special box, and it looked like a piece of jewelry because it was in a special box with kind of red cloth cover on it. And I opened the box and saw the razor.
It was beautiful.
I must have left it out, because then I got a message from my mother that Uncle Louis doesn't want you to go in his looking around in his bedroom anymore.
So he was a reporter and an editor for the Chicago Daily News.
He was not a reporter. He was an editor. He wanted to be a reporter, and they just never got around to it, and eventually the
but didn't he have a column
for the World Book later, and that's because he couldn't get on as a reporter. So World Book was owned in some way by the Chicago Daily News, and they were related anyway, financially. And so he was about, I'd say, 50 years old. He switched from the Daily News to the, he moved with the, you know, whatever you do to ask a boss if you could work for the World Book.
Right, the World Book Science Yearbook he was an associate editor of. I understand that also he organized an annual science fair at the nearby Ogden School, which later on they named the library after him.
Yes.
At the Ogden School, so yes. A library was named after
yes,
him.
Yes, that's correct.
So he was a pretty smart, intelligent man, correct?
Yes, and he had a lot of friends. He had a girlfriend. When my grandmother died, she was at the wake. That would be his mother.
Okay.
And I met her, but I can't remember her much. And maybe a few years after that, he didn't see her anymore, and he just was a content with just having friends and going to work and working at these jobs that were not physically taxing, and he just loved the intellectual life.
Right. Now, did he also work for the North Loop News?
His cousin owned the newspaper. His cousin, Albanese was the last name, Bud Albanese.
Okay.
And Bud was a nickname. I don't know his real name, but he owned the newspaper. And my Uncle Louie had a penchant for talking to people and sitting down. So at one point, I don't know how it started, but I think his cousin Bud said, "Would you like to write a column?" And he said he would try it. And he did try it, and he had a place at a restaurant called McConnell's about a half a block or a quarter of a block kind of north from where the park is that is now
oh,
named
Oh, I see.
Him.
Okay, that makes sense, yes, because and it said that he would hang at a restaurant. He spent his evenings at a restaurant across from the park.
Yes, and that was called McConnell's.
He would
hamburgers.
Hold court. And he would seek out stories for his North Loop News column.
Yeah.
So, you know, nightly he would be holding court, meeting people, hearing stories. Correct?
What's so interesting is that there's other columnists that were maybe a few years after that, maybe Irv Kupcinen or something, and, you know, elevated to a level of like a real Chicago celebrity. And Lou Mariano, I'm even just figuring this out myself here, like hearing what his story was. He was such a quiet person, not like a real showboater.
but he must have been a very people person.
He
had to have.
It's so fascinating because if you would, maybe he didn't like the family. I don't know. But at the family parties, he was quiet, real quiet. And very much, very intellectual.
He was probably too tired from talking every night on Rush
Street. You're right. He's, oh, my God. That's it. He's out late talking at Rush Street. And then, of course, we get to family parties. He's like, that totally adds up.
He must have made such an impression because he passed away in 1970. And it had already been named something. I did a little research, and there would have been about 3-4 names to this park. And then they named him after him in 1970 when he passed. So he must have been quite the celebrity in the Rush Street area in those days.
I mean, obviously, if they've got a library after him and a park, I don't know that the library still... That was Ogden School. Ogden has since relocated. And I'm sure the library name also changed. But it was... The picture in the newspaper from the dedication was pretty interesting. Dad, do you remember who was in that picture? Was it George Dunn in the newspaper?
The picture of the family?
Yeah.
Oh, my...
Not our family. Obviously, Uncle... I mean, the
Well, the main politician was George Dunn.
Right. Okay.
And
that's who I recognize.
So
in
he
that
must
photo.
Have had something to do with the Park District. George Dunn, and there was a picture of the whole family: my mother, my wife.
Yeah.
Probably the
your aunts.
My children
yep.
were there for sure. I don't know how
Aunt
many.
Mildred
of
and
got
Aunt
in
Florence.
The and Mildred, my Aunt Mildred, that would be his sister, and my Aunt Florence
yeah.
would be his youngest sister. And
but yeah, George Dunn was definitely in on this. So
George Dunn uh-huh. had a lot to do with it.
Yeah.
So George Dunn, I presume, was also mentioned in his column a lot.
Oh. I have to go back and look.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
It sounds like he was a type of, you mentioned Irv Cups in it, maybe Royko.
Oh, perfect. Yep.
Studs Terkel type mm-hmm. of figure that talked to a lot of people, was a Chicago guy, did stories. Those are great. Those kind of guys are great. I don't know if they have guys like that anymore.
Yeah, I don't either.
Yeah, that's
it, it seems like that's a dying thing. And that was, it was probably a really cool time to be in the Rush Street area.
Absolutely.
And in the 60s like
absolutely.
That.
Absolutely.
And, yeah, I don't think they have kind of, reporters like that anymore.
Mm-mm.
It's great to hear about local stories, local people.
Literally a man on the street. I mean, literally on the street.
A man on the street,
and,
yes.
And you could go up and talk to him and get your story in the paper.
Yeah.
And get your word out on whatever happenings were going on.
And that
on.
Made sense that he lived right by Rush Street.
Absolutely.
And he was a bachelor, correct?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Never married?
Mm-mm. Nope.
Okay,
nope.
So he was a bachelor, so he lived in the area. He didn't have anybody to go home to, so he spent his nights on Rush Street.
The neighborhood was...
Mm-hmm. I'm not going to lie, I'm very jealous at this point.
I know.
That's a hell of a life.
His bed is sitting in my bedroom right
is
now, in my
right?
parents' bedroom. Yeah.
His actual
yeah.
bed.
Louis, Lou Mariano's bed. It's gorgeous.
Metal made by some kind of a tradesperson who made beds out
yeah,
of
it's
iron.
Wrought iron. It's wow. absolutely... Yeah, my sister got it.
Perhaps we should call the Chicago History Museum over there on North and... where is that? North and Clark Street?
Yeah. Yeah.
This is a piece of Chicago history.
Yeah, it absolutely is. I remember actually going to his apartment to help clean it out after he had passed. And it was such a bachelor pad. Not in like the swinging bachelor pad type. Not in that, but just sort of like the sparse, here's a bed.
Sure.
Here's obviously my Gillette razor because I've been saving this since my nephew was getting busted at 5 years old. It was dark and it was, but he had some nice things, a few really nice things. And I think he appreciated art, very much so. So it was, Uncle Louis was, big Uncle Louis. We have another Uncle Lou too. So
oh,
it'd always be, sort of delineated by which Uncle Lou.
You know, one of my fears, too, I was thinking about this when we were going to do the show, is they change names so quickly. And unfortunately, our society, we kind of were very big on, okay, it was named that for a long time, so enough with that, let's go to the next name. Yeah. Where nothing can stand, nothing can you know. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
1970 was a long time ago. It was 46 years ago. But my biggest fear is now, we'll change the name one day.
Well, we're really grateful for this radio show, Frank, because we've talked a little bit about the ownership of the name or who's going to, sneak in there or whatever. It is right by Gibson's. And Gibson's restaurant, I don't know when it started down there. Do you know?
You know, I don't know years. It's been there for quite a long time, but I don't think it was definitely not back then. No.
I think they've made some approaches at, like, putting something on the park or connecting the park to Gibson's restaurant. I know my aunt has been in some sort of conversation with them about the park, and we think it's kind of important to hang on to.
Absolutely.
It.
Mm-hmm. I have a question for you. Mm-hmm. I don't know the answer. I know there's a sign. There's a Chicago Park District sign. It clearly says Mariano Park. Is there any type of a plaque that explains who Louis Mariano was? Or the fact that this is named after Louis Mariano?
I believe it says Mariano Plaza or something like that, right?
Yeah, right. It's a very small park, so they changed it to Mariano Plaza.
Oh, okay. In Italian, actually, a piazza is a square.
It's actually perfect.
That actually is. Piazza Mariano would be, like, perfect. But I hope they do keep the name. I hope they keep the name for the history. I hope they keep the name for the man. And, you know, being selfish, it's an Italian-American, and I hate to see that name go away.
Absolutely.
Because even there was big talk of the Petrillo Band Shelter.
That's
right.
That
was named after a Mr. Petrillo. And I don't know if they ever did change it, but they wanted to change it.
That's right.
And then all that's left, you know, 40, 50 years later is some, perhaps a grandchild, a great niece named Carol that fights them. But, you know, the old thing, you can't fight City Hall. So I would, if the Gibson's people do have something to do with this, which rumor has it they do, that they're going to put something there, I'm assuming the land will still be retained by the Chicago Park District. I would hope that the Gibson's people that are ownership Italian-Americans would leave the name.
Absolutely. I mean, that's the hope on our part as well. And also, I think what you just alluded to, Frank, is kind of interesting, to have a plaque there or some sort of information about who Luis Mariano was and why he was important to that area. And if we decide to just kind of blow past all of our history, we're going to have nothing. We're going to have neon and we're going to have franchises.
Totally agreed. And I mean, as far as, you know, a plaque could be the smallest of things. I mean, we'll pay for it ourselves, but just getting the permission to put it there from the park district. Because, you know, honestly, and I mean, maybe because I'm just a curious type of person.
Right.
Who's Mariano Park? What's Mariano Park? Who's
a
Mariano? I like to know what that is. But unfortunately, with other things that we've been involved in and may possibly be involved in, time goes by. We forget about it. We don't care. You bring it up, and it's like, eh, what's the difference? But it is a difference.
Okay, if we decide that things don't make a difference, then we might as well just leave.
I totally agree.
But, you know, interestingly, I have been... I've been in touch with Rob Mariano, who is an architect.
Which,
of Mariano's groceries,
which has nothing to do
with Luis
Mariano. Which
has absolutely nothing.
It just happens to be a coincidence they have the name. Which, ironically, now you're on Rush Street, you see that name, Mariano Park, there's 12 grocery stores named Mariano's. I wonder if people kind of think, oh, wow, they named a park after him.
I would guess that. And actually, when I talked to Rob, he said people think it's our park.
Yes.
And it has, and we're not even from Chicago. They're from, like, Wisconsin, and then they got people out in New York. But they're not Chicagoans.
Right.
I think getting a plaque or something would be
I think that's
nice...
extremely important. And one of our past shows that we did about the Balbo Monument... which is on the lakefront. You know, I was thinking about it as well. And it's like, okay, here we have this piece of history, Italo Balbo's flight. We're commemorating it from the 1933 Chicago World's Fair. And yet, okay, it's 2016, and it's kind of falling apart, and it needs repairs. And people are just like, eh, whatever. But if we don't keep these things up, like you said, what kind of a society will we have in the future? And in other words, anything we do, meaning Frankie D and Carol and Mr. Richard here, well, anything we do, well, 40, 50 years from now, because to me, everything goes along. I always say, and I think to myself, I want to do this, and I want to, you know, fix that, and I don't know the future, but maybe setting an example and showing maybe 40, 50 years from now, those people who were young once upon a time will have seen what they did, what we did, and say, hey, now we got to do it. It's our turn. So... that's my only hope.
Absolutely, Frank. Yeah. And I think it goes along, preserving something like Mariano Park and its history goes along with how we treat our elderly in society and how we think about who we are as individuals and Italian Americans.
Absolutely, because guess what? Me and you will be elderly someday. If we're lucky, we will make it to that. So we are going to hope that the young people take care of us.
Absolutely.
And then as far as the Italian-American thing, well, that's, you know, the basis of this show where it's like if we don't take care of our own Mariano Park, our own Balbo Monument, there's another statue, Garibaldi statue in Arrigo Park. We must take care of these things because if we don't, who will?
Absolutely.
If we don't, they will disappear.
They will disappear. They will be gone, and it'll be a shame and a half.
Yes.
Not just a shame and a half.
Because so. This gives some organic, something organic about the development of the city.
Well, that's what distinguishes
that's
it.
That's beautiful.
That's absolutely, you're correct.
Who, at the time, were very important for that section of the city. He was very important because he knew the people, and he wrote about the people. And
you could actually say that maybe he made had a little bit of a hand in making the Rush Street area what it
definitely
is today.
That was part of.
So you don't honor these people, you just forget about it and say, ah, he's gone, he's dead, whatever.
Oh my God.
So I mean, he might have had a little hand in it. So.
Oh my God.
Any last words about Mr. Louis Mariano before we conclude, Mariano family?
Oh, I'm just tickled that we're talking about him, and I
you
think he
pride?
Probably is too. Absolutely.
When you're there and you go by it, because I know, Carol, you've been known to hang on Rush Street many, many nights. Do you have pride when you see this this sign?
I do. I do. My husband jokes around that it's a median strip and it's not a park, but.
Oh, it'd be a park.
Yeah, it's a park. It's absolutely a park, and I'm very proud of that. And almost none of my friends relate to it because my maiden name's Valentino, so Mariano's one removed. But Mariano is a name that came directly from the steps of a church in Italy. Santa Marianova is the last name that came through Ellis Island and got shrunk down to Mariano. So his grandfather was a foundling on the steps of a church in Campania, Italy, Santa Marianova Church. And that's where Mariano came from. So I'm
Carol,
very proud.
I am very impressed. I am speechless with that knowledge. That was great. Good for you. That was outstanding. Well, thank you. Thank you so much, you both, Richard, Carol, for being here and informing us and enlightening us of this great section, this little great section of Chicago, a piece of Chicago, a piece of Italian-American history. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Frank.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
Thank
I
you.
Think this is a very important part of the that section of the city, that this was important at that time. The people had a chance to get their name in the paper. It spread the area became knowledgeable about what was happening in the area because of his column.
Absolutely, and we're going to try to keep that name there. So, as we always do, our quote of the show, our inspirational words, today's quote is, I don't know who said it, but I'm saying it now, it is not the easy or convenient life for which I search, but rather life lived to the edge of all my possibility. I think it's very appropriate. Thank you all for listening to the show, and have a great Italian-American day.
Just what makes that little old ant think he'll move that rubber tree plant? Anyone knows an ant can't move a rubber tree plant.
But he's got high hopes. He's got high hopes. He's got high apple pie in the sky.
So anytime you're getting low, instead of letting go, just remember that ant. Oops, there goes.
You have been listening to Keeping It Real with Frankie D and his guest from the John DeVita Broadcast Center on Jack FM 89.7 WRHS FM Norge and the Windy City Hometown Entertainment Network. This broadcast was directed by John DeVita. Our special thanks to radio station manager Kevin Zeflik of WRHS-FM Norwich and the executive producer of Windy City Hometown Entertainment Network, Mr. John Secondo.
He kept butting that dam cause he had high hopes. He had high hopes. He had
This broadcast was pre-recorded on Wednesday, January the 27th, the year of our Lord, 2016. Until next time, friends, please be safe and thanks for listening.
Oops, there goes a billion kilowatt dam.
And this is Jack FM 89.7 WRHS FM, Norridge, Illinois, a Ridgewood Community High School radio station.